Chapter 21. Reacher ran 30 yards across the winter dirt and stopped. Inside the truck, the driver was twisted around in his seat, staring back at him, pawing and fumbling blindly at the wheel and the gear shift. The truck backed up, straining, still locked in low gear, the engine revving fast and the ground speed grinding slow. Reacher had no idea how long it would take for a hard-worked engine with no oil in it to seize up and die. Not long, he hoped. He danced sideways, left and left and left, and the truck tracked him all the way, coming on slow, the crushed bumper plastered across the front like an ugly afterthought, the axles locked up for maximum traction, the tires squirming and hopping and grinding out new ruts all their own. The driver hit the gas and jerked the wheel to his left, aiming to decode Reacher's decoy dance and hit him after the inevitable sudden change of direction at its end. But Reacher double-bluffed him and jumped to his own left, and the truck missed him by 10 whole feet. The truck stopped dead, and Reacher saw the guy tugging on levers and heard the transmission change back to normal speed road duty. The truck made a big 40-foot loop out on the dirt and headed back in. Reacher stood still and watched it, and sidestepped right and right and right, and then he triple-bluffed and jumped right again while the truck slammed left and missed him again. The truck ended up with its battered nose deep in the thicket. All kinds of unpleasant noises were coming out of it, deep, banging sounds like tuneless church bells. Bearings, Reacher thought. The big ends. He knew some terminology. He had heard car guys talking on military bases. He saw the driver glance down in alarm, as if red warning lights were blazing on the dash. There was steam in the air and blue smoke. The truck backed up one more time. Then it died. It swung through a short backward arc and stopped, ready for a change of gear, which happened. But it didn't move on again. It just bounced forward a foot against the slack in its suspension and seized up solid. The engine noise shut off, and Reacher heard wheezing and hissing and ticking and saw steam jetting out and a final fine black spray from underneath like a cough, like a death rattle. The driver stayed where he was, in his seat, behind locked doors. Reacher looked again for a rock and couldn't find one. Impasse. But not for long. Reacher saw them first. He had a better vantage point. Flames coming out of the seams between the hood and the fenders, low down at the front of the vehicle. The flames were small and colorless at first, boiling the air above them, spreading fast, blistering the paint around them. Then they got bigger and turned blue and yellow and started spilling black smoke from their edges. The hood was a big square, pressing, and within a minute all four seams surrounding it were alive with flame, and the paint all over it was cooking and bubbling and splitting from the heat underneath. The driver just sat there. Reacher ran over and tried his door, still locked. He banged on the window glass, dull, padded thumps from his fist, and he pointed urgently at the hood. But it was impossible that the guy didn't already know he was on fire. His wiper blades were alight. Black smoke was rolling off them and swirling up the windshield in coils. The guy was looking right at them, then looking at Reacher back and forth, panic in his eyes. He was as worried about Reacher as he was about the fire. So Reacher backed off 10 feet, and the door opened up and the guy jumped out. A big, slabby white boy. Very young, maybe 6'6", close to 300 pounds. He ran 5 feet and stopped dead, his hands bunched into fists. Behind him, the flames started shooting out of the wheel wells at the front of the truck, starting downward, curling back up around the sheet metal, burning hard. The front tires were smoking. The guy just stood there, rooted. So Reacher ran in again, and the guy swung at him and missed. Reacher ducked under the blow and popped the guy in the gut, and then grabbed him by the collar. The guy went straight down in a crouch and cradled his head defensively. Reacher pulled him back to his feet and hauled him away across the field, fast, 30 feet, 40, then 50. He stopped, and the guy swung again and missed again. Reacher feinted with a left jab and threw in a huge right hook that caught the guy on the ear. The guy wobbled for a second and then went down on his ass, just sat there, blinking, in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere. 20 yards away, the truck was burning fiercely, all the way back to the windshield pillars. The front tires were alight, and the hood was buckled. Reacher asked, "How much gas is in the tank?" The guy said, "Don't hit me again. Answer my question." "I filled it this morning." So Reacher grabbed him again and pulled him up and hauled him farther away, another 30 feet, then 10 more. The guy stumbled all the way and eventually resisted and said, "Please, don't hit me again." "Why shouldn't I? You just tried to kill me with a truck."
"I'm sorry about that."
"You're sorry about that?"
"I had to do it."
"Just following orders?"
"I'm surrendering, okay? I'm out of the fight now like a POW.
"You're bigger than me and younger."
"But you're a crazy man."
"Says who?"
"We were told about last night. You put 3 of us in a hospital."
Reacher asked, "What's your name?" The guy said,
"Brett."
"What is this, the Twilight Zone? You've all got the same name?"
"Only 3 of us."
"Out of 10, right?"
"Yes."
30%. "What are the odds?" The guy didn't answer. Reacher asked, "Who's in charge here?"
I don't know what you mean.
"Who told you to come out this morning and kill me with a truck?"
"It's Jacob Duncan."
"Seth Duncan's father?"
"Yes."
"You know where he lives?" The guy nodded and pointed into the distance, south and east, beyond the burning vehicle. The flames had moved inside it. The glass had shattered and the seats were on fire. There was a column of black smoke in the air, thick and dirty. It was going straight up and then hitting a low atmospheric layer and spreading sideways like a miniature mushroom cloud. Then the gas tank exploded. An orange fireball kicked the rear of the truck clear off the ground, and a split second later a dull boom rolled across the dirt on a pressure wave hard enough to make Reacher stagger a step and hot enough to make him flinch away. Flames leapt 50 feet in the air and died instantly, and the truck crashed back to earth, now all black and skeletal inside a hot new fire that roiled the air 100 feet above it. Reacher watched for a second, then he said, "Okay, Brett, this is what you're going to do. You're going to jog over to Jacob Duncan's place, and you're going to tell him 3 things. You listening to me?" The big guy looked away from the fire and said, "Yes." "Okay, first, if Duncan wants to, he can send his 6 remaining boys after me, and each one will delay me a couple of minutes, but then I'll come right over and kick his ass. Got that?"
"Yes."
"Second, if he prefers, he can skip getting the 6 boys hurt, and he can come out and meet with me face to face right away. Got that?"